And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
...2008. The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. Enter a brave group of Jedi, led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering Star Wars The Clone Wars. In this episode, Yoda is deeply unsettled when he hears a voice from beyond the grave, the voice of Qui-Gon. There will be what would have been the final arc of Clone Wars, but now we have Season 7, baby, and you finally get your Yoda art, Chris! Hey! We're talking voices this week.
I get it. Talking voices, I get it.
I was expecting like a response because I've been like the Yoda arc, and you're like, "Yay, Yoda arc!
Yay, Yoda arc!" We've talked about this before the show, but there's reasons why I love and I dread this.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm so sorry. I think you have the Yoda arc. I'm interested in what you think of the next two episodes because it's. I don't know. I'm excited and dreading what you think next week, but we're not there. So I really am nervous about the next two episodes.
I have stuff to say about this one.
You know, I was thinking about it though. I was because I've only seen this arc once, and it was the first time I ever watched it. And then I started thinking about the next two episodes, and I was like, oh. These might not go in the way I thought they would go with Chris.
Messes with some of my plans, let's just say that.
Everyone's going to be tuning in. They're like, Chris is going to love his heart. It's Yoda. He's been waiting for it. And now it's like, wah, wah. It's a little horn of like, wah, 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 wah.
In a way.
Did you still like it, though?
I did. It's not. I'm not going to throw shade on the episode. It's because it's personal things.
Oh.
It messes up personal things for me, but it's as far as an episode goes, yeah.
I'm pretty sure why I know what it is because I made a note of it.
Yeah.
I have a note specifically written for you. And I'm 99.9% sure.
It's basically just the fact that this episode happened that gets me, but we'll, yeah. We'll talk about that.
I'm so excited. Let's get started, okay? You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Voices is the 119th episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars and aired on March 7th, 2014. It was written by Christian Taylor and directed by Danny Keller. Some extra information for you. Liam Neeson returns the voice Qui-Gon Jinn. Shakti's death impaled through the heart from behind by a blue lightsaber as witnessed by Yoda among his vision on Dagobah mirrors a deleted scene from Star Wars Episode 3, in which he is executed by Darth Vader in the Jedi Temple during the attack on the Jedi Temple. Mace Windu is shown being struck by Force Lightning from Palpatine, as witnessed by Yoda among his visions on Dagobah, foreshadowing his fate in Star Wars Episode 3. Composer Kevin Kiner makes effective use of both Qui-Gon's theme and Yoda's theme at key moments in this episode, mixing them together. While contemplating the mystery of Qui-Gon's voice, Yoda asks Anakin about the incident on Mortis, seen in Season 3 of the series. It is important to note that although the ship's sensors indicated no time had passed while the Jedi ventured to the planet of Mortis, and some of Anakin's visions experience had been erased, the mysterious event did happen, and Obi-Wan, Anakin, and Ahsoka did report their council to the Jedi Council, their encounters to the Jedi Council, fuck Mortis. And the design of Jedi actor Rick Nimma is based on early Episode 1 concept art of Mace Windu.
Oh,
Fuck Mortis! Chris, yeah. I think we're going to have to actually, like, more and more accept that Mortis is a thing.
I accept it's a thing, but, yeah. And
You don't have to like it.
Well, yeah, I accept the thing about it. I just don't accept the execution of the thing. So as long as I don't have to watch it, it's okay.
Yeah. I still stand by, I like the first episode of Mortis. I really like the first episode. Episode 2 and 3 should have never happened. I still stand by that. I was the Mortis lover of episode 1, and after that I was like, nope. I just still remember Brian Weber sitting beside me in the Clone Wars panel at Dragon Con, and everyone was just like, yeah, Mortis is awesome! That's one of our favorite arcs! And he just looks at me and smiles.
Elbowing you under the table, yeah.
Absolutely during that, and I just looked at him like, screw you, Brian. I hate that fucking arc. I don't have any way. Hi, Yoda. I had no way of leading in that. Usually I have like a funny pile of like, do you know who also hates the Mortis arc? Mm. Yoda, it's your arc. Congratulations.
Mm. Finally got here.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Finally, they want to focus on Yoda right at the end. Mm-hmm. At the end.
I was actually saving the note for episode 3 of this arc. That I think it's very fitting, even though that they didn't know they were going to get canceled. But it's very fitting that the first arc of Clone Wars and the last arc of Clone Wars is bookended by Yoda. Mm-hmm.
Yoda gets and first episode. First yep. episode. One and episode. Then arc at the end. Mm.
Yeah, it was bookended by Yoda, even though they didn't mean to because they didn't know they were going to be canceled. And I was going to save that note for the last episode, but I'm doing it now to make you feel better.
Don't like to pay the puppets, they do. Not.
Puppet rights!
Yoda wants the Muppet money.
Whatever, you have the Disney money. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Yoda wants... the Mickey money own... Yoda wants.
Doesn't Disney own Jim Henson?
Maybe corpse of Jim Henson.
maybe. Because I know that they were... The new Muppet show was on ABC. And Disney owns ABC and ABC Family. And so, well, maybe they just bought the show for it. I don't know. But you should be having Disney money, Yoda. You should be happy. And that's a lot to get to find yourself a good time in a spa.
Yoda wants his condo. Anyway.
Well, then just go talk to Thanos and have him make you one. Or if that doesn't even work out for you, you can go to, like, Snow White's castle and just, like, chill there. She's passive.
Passive.
Okay, what's the platitude this week?
Platitude's disturbing too. Madness can sometimes be the path to truth. In bed.
Yeah. It's it is a little icky. Just a little bit.
For one, bed being the path to truth and using madness, yeah, it's, yeah.
Yeah,
maybe for some people.
Like, I could see this being, like, working as, like, uncertainty can be the path to truth.
Bring on the madness. It sounds more like a Hellraiser sort of scenario to me than anything else, personally. Some sort of, it sounds like some sort of S&M scenario. So
yeah.
Count me out.
I like to read it in fan fiction if it's done correctly with proper aftercare.
Well, that's fine, yeah.
Act one. I did write in some Yoda lines. I think it's in act two. I think I wrote in one here. But I don't know if you want to read them. It's up to you.
I'll do.
Okay. Though some of these are like in my voice of like, no, you're dead! Which is now I'm in funny. It's
well, that should be interesting.
Yeah, because it's in Yoda's voice. All right. Act one. Okay, so last week we thought it was a one and done, and it kind of really was, but it bled into this episode a little bit, so we're continuing the fallout from last episode. Because they found the lightsaber of Sifo-Dyas and uncovered that Count Dooku helped make the clone army, and Yoda is meditating deep in the Force to try and find some answers about everything. While meditating, Yoda hears a voice of someone he couldn't be talking, that shouldn't be talking to him, Qui-Gon Jinn. And Yoda is like...
No! You're dead!
That's the closest you'll ever get to my voice. Now you're dead! And Qui-Gon is like, I'm a poltergeist! Whoosh, there goes your candles! Woo! I'm gonna lift you up! And I'm part of the living force now, baby.
I'm a ghost.
Ghost. Ghost Qui-Gon. They should call me Qui-Ghost Jinn. Anyway. And Yoda looks pretty shook by this. Later, the Jedi Council is debating everything that they're unclear about. They're not sure if Dooku is the Sith Lord or the Apprentice. And then they turn to Yoda, who wasn't listening at all. And he says some Jedi words about the growing dark side and how they should be careful, so just normal Jedi stuff. After the meeting, Webb, Link, and Windu calls Obi-Wan to talk in private. They talk about how something has spooked Yoda, and that's bad news for everyone. And outside, Anakin is strolling through the gardens by the forest tree, but he stops when he hears Qui-Gon calling for Yoda. And he spots Yoda, and our green friend asks Anakin about talking to Qui-Gon on Mortis, aka, God, we hate that arc. And if this is your first time listening to us, or you're new to the show, and you heard the first part of the show, we hate the Mortis arc.
Hate it.
Anyway, Anakin says that he and Obi-Wan both spoke to Qui-Gon, but since their mentor was dead, they just believed it was a mind trick or an illusion. And Anakin says that everything we know about the Force says that individuals reaching their identity after death is impossible. And Yoda pretty much says they don't know everything about the Force. The Force is the thing that just, they don't have all the answers to. But when Yoda spoke with Master Qui-Gon, Yoda gets all flustered and hobbles away. And now everyone is just worried about Yoda. Yoda addresses the Jedi Council and says he can't trust his feelings about hearing Qui-Gon. Webb Blanket says that they have to run, they will have a Bayamal meditate together as a group. And they gather around Yoda and meditate as a group until the next morning. But he wasn't able to hear Qui-Gon at all. And Yoda wants to take a nap, and they're all still debating. And Ki-Adi-Mundi, who I'm about to talk about a lot in this episode because he's chirpy this time around, he's the Harry Potter of the episode going, Snape's up to something! Meaning that this could be manipulating Yoda! Oh god! And they're all worried that Yoda is corrupted by the dark side. And Yoda starts to wonder that too. What did you think of Act 1?
I love the Force talking with Qui-Gon.
Yeah, that's actually one of my first notes is I love that they got Liam Neeson back to be Qui-Gon.
Yeah, it was obviously, he loves doing that stuff. He loves doing walk-ons and stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was, it's always more life in this and actually in episode one in his line delivery.
And, yeah.
My only other real note for this was that this is the first time we've seen a time-lapse shot in Star Wars.
I have that. I love that montage shot of Coruscant and like how it looks with like the sun setting and all the like the light trails of the speeders and stuff. It's a really pretty shot.
Yeah, it's like a modern time lapse photo, but it's a new thing to the Star Wars visual vocabulary. But that's all I got for part one.
I have a lot of notes.
I see that.
I know. Right away, like, right in the opening of this, I think that it's too little too late. I'm going to go into it. But it's up in the right Jedi direction. I think it was the Ahsoka arc. Don't quote me on it, but I think it was in the Ahsoka arc. I said, I can't remember the last time we saw Jedi meditate on screen. And before that, it had been, like, season two with Cad Bane stealing babies, and Obi-Wan, Windu, and Yoda were trying to, like, feel out the other children. And, so we haven't, during the Clone Wars, seen the Jedi meditating. And that's such a basic thing to them. And it's nice to see Yoda doing that. And it's kind of like it's back to basics for the Jedi.
Yeah, they should have been doing that 10 years ago.
Yeah. They really should have. But, like, that was a part I was like, yes, this is that. Yes, thank you. And, you know, like, I really like seeing Yoda unsure about the Force. And because, like, dude is, like, 900 years old, and he's still learning things. And I like that he points out that the Jedi know everything about the Force. He doesn't know everything about the Force, and there's no way to know everything about the Force. And I think that's a really nice character moment for him when he's unsure. We don't see Yoda unsure very often, it's not a good time.
And I think Yoda should have had a little freak out on everybody and said, like, yo, man, you guys are using me for everything. Let me take a Yoda nap, for Christ's sakes. I'm turning off the phone. I'm not answering the phone. You know?
Yeah. So I think it's really nice to have that. You know, okay, so after the Jedi Kumbaya moment, like, nobody heard Qui-Gon. But when he is just walking on the garden, Anakin heard Qui-Gon. And the other Jedi could not. Like, that's definitely something about Anakin.
Well, Anakin and Yoda are the only ones with the super midichlorians.
Yeah.
You know, they're both the ones with the, like, basically when they saw Anakin, they're like, nobody has midichlorians like that. So they're probably better radio receivers than the other Jedi. And they both have a connection with Qui-Gon.
And that's what I was about to say. I have to wonder if Obi-Wan was walking with Anakin, if he would have heard Qui-Gon too. Because you know Qui-Gon was like, Obi-Wan, let me tell you about the living force, man.
Yeah.
So I feel like he would have heard him as... I don't know, like... I do have to wonder if it has to do with Anakin being the Chosen One, and he has that bigger connection more than most Jedi.
It could be. I think they're also, they're like his best buds.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I have a Mortis note, but yeah. It's pretty much what I've already said. Here's the Mortis arc again, and I know we don't like it, but we do have to note that it's important, and because it comes up again in Rebels. Ryan Johnson even said that, like, when writing Rey's scene in The Jedi where she's in the dark side, well, like, the Mortis arc to kind of get a feel for it. And we now have confirmation, because one of our biggest issues about the Mortis arc, and if you're new and you haven't heard this before, that you have all this happen, Anakin, he forgets everything, like it never happened. And it felt like a waste of time. Well, that being said, we know now, because of this, that he lost some of his memories, and Ahsoka and Obi-Wan can remember that it happened enough to report to the Jedi, so now they're aware of it. So I just wanted to make that note to say, yes, we understand being now in canon, and it's important, and we can't forget it. Never, it's like the Alamo. You can't forget. No, it's not like the Alamo. The Alamo was actually brave and wonderful. And those, well, not wonderful. The Alamo was actually like full of brave men and that really changed the tide of a war. But the Mortis arc is just a poorly executed Clone Wars arc.
Just a little side piece of fan fiction.
Mm-hmm. And my last note is, I have to wonder if part of like understanding the Living Force is believing in the Living Force. And what I mean by that is, like, the Jedi know that there's a Living Force and a Cosmic Force, but when you die, you stop doing the Living Force, and then you go into the Cosmic Force, and, like, you don't retain that. Well, Qui-Gon was thought to be extreme by the Council, because he, like, really believed in the Living Force, and he really, like, was into it. And so, when the Council was meditating around Yoda, no one heard the voice, and not even Yoda. And I was wondering if they didn't believe in the Living Force the way that Qui-Gon believed in the Living Force.
It could be,
or
it could be a specific skill that you learn that somehow Qui-Gon learned. But I think Qui-Gon was really into the Living Force, so maybe that's why he... Because it's not like Qui-Gon, like, died when he was prepared to die. You know, he sort of got, you know... And you notice after Qui-Gon, the guys that go into the Living Force to the point of where they can visit somebody are basically Yoda and Obi-Wan.
Yeah, and Anakin, and they're all tied to Qui-Gon.
And all three of them sort of like had a death where they were like prepared to die. You know what I mean? And, you know, Obi-Wan and Yoda both just sort of did their fade away, and Luke. So we're assuming that Luke is probably going to be in that world, too, of being able to chat with people. But
yeah,
the way they explain it is, well, we'll get more to that when they start actually chit-chatting about it. But, you know, it's... I think it's sort of different than, like, it's not like, hey...
It's not like I believe in fairies, clap, clap, clap.
No, I don't think they're hanging out in the afterlife. I don't think, like, when... we'll get into their explanation when Qui-Gon talks about it more in, I think it's Act 2. But,
I actually
no, it might be act two. It's more of act three, actually.
I just thought of something, and it's Star Wars Rebels. In the final season, we know that Ezra goes into the world between worlds, and he's hearing all these from the past future, and some of the events that hasn't happened yet. And one of those voices is Churrit saying, "I'm one with the Force, and the Force is with me." And where am I going with this point? Oh, more along the lines of, I wonder if that's more of cosmic or living force that Qui-Gon is talking about. Well, or, is it both?
Area where you get into where, you know, there is no past, present, and future. That's why he was there seeing stuff from the past, present, and future.
And I know we're skipping ahead, but Qui-Gon says that in Act 3. Like, he is neither in the past or the future. He can't see it. He's just in the then. So I'm wondering if the world between worlds that we see in Rebels is actually more of the living force that Qui-Gon is talking about, and that's why Ezra and Ahsoka are able to, like, traverse it.
I think it's sort of a spot in between. You know, it's that place that bridges the gap between the living force.
It's Bindu's house.
Yeah, it is, sort of, in a way.
You know, I did think about that. Like, when Qui-Gon said, "I'm not the past or the future," I'm like, so is he like a Bindu, but not with the light side and the dark side? Well, he's like a time Bindu?
It's where you get into that spot where linear time doesn't have as much of a meaning.
Yeah. But, yeah. Well, that's all I have for Act 1.
I like to call Act 2, Yoda goes to the hospital.
Yeah. Pretty much. So... All right, Act 2.
Act 2.
Jedi Dr. Rick Nima has ran tests on Yodas and finds that he is in perfect health. She finds that one part of his brain is active, and she's never seen that before. But she also thinks it's because Yoda is 900 years old and knows things that they don't. Then, the crying wolf Harry Potter Mundi, Ki-Adi Mundi, points out that Dooku was Yoda's Padawan and fell into the dark side. And Obi-Wan pointed out that they've all served under Yoda at some point. And Potter Mundi says whoever is a Sith Lord could be using Yoda's old relationship with Dooku against them. Dr. Nima suggests doing a dangerous ritual that will go to the source of the voice. And Anakin kicks in the door going, "Guys, there's still a war going on and they need Yoda for a meeting." And Windu will go for Yoda, and whether or not the little green friend wants to do the procedure is up to Yoda. Well, he's going to go through with it, and they're dangling Yoda's tiny little body over a tank that will take him into a deeper meditation than anything he could do on his own. And everyone is understandably nervous about this, and Yoda is like...
"Peace out!"
And dives right in, and he wants to find the truth about what's happening. And then the doctor explains that she's taking out most of the oxygen to force Yoda in a deep meditative state. He will be as close to death as possible. And right away, Qui-Gon calls to Yoda, like, "What? What are you doing? This is not the way. Hell, you gotta go to Dagobah, bro. That's where all the answers are. And you can't even scope out a new home for the future." And Yoda's vital signs are dropping too low, and Obi-Wan demands him to stop this as he and Anakin bang on the glass. And Qui-Gon tells Yoda to trust no one, speak to no one about this. And Yoda wakes up and says he was speaking to the dead. Anakin and Obi-Wan exchange a look. And they call in, they check in with Wet Blanket Windu and say that Yoda is physically fine, but his spiritual balance is something they can't talk about. And Ki Potter Mundi is like, "Everything is impossible! The Force, this is impossible to talk to the dead!" And Anakin shuts that down. He was listening to Yoda in Act 1. This could be something new that the Jedi don't know about. But Mundi says that the dead go into the cosmic force, not the living force. He still thinks it's a Sith attacking Yoda somehow. And Wet Blanket Windu has temple guards placed in the medical bay. Back in the medical bay, Yoda calls for Anakin. He knows that Anakin will be blamed, but he needs help escaping the medical bay with the temple guards around him. And Anakin says that the council won't want Yoda to go on a mission alone. And Yoda is like...
"Meh! Not listening to those jack wagons. Your specialty is. Go, we must."
And Anakin helps Yoda leave, and they head to the hangar bay. They meet up with R2, the real hero of Star Wars, and Anakin gives him a mission to get to Yoda to a ship and out of there as fast as possible. Yoda hops on R2's back, and they fly to a ship and steal it. And Wet Blanket Windu runs in with the doctor doing his best, "What the hell, Skywalker?" And Anakin's like, "Dude, it's not my idea this time." and Yoda heads to Dagobah. What do you think of Act 2?
Well, here's where I start sweating. Here's where it starts treading on my territory.
Yeah, so is it your territory of Yoda knows everything?
No. I've always wanted to write a Yoda movie, but it was sort of based on his first trip to Dagobah. And that's happening now. It's not supposed to happen. Ruins my story, man.
Maybe.
We'll find out by the end.
Fan fiction. Oh, your fan fiction is getting treaded on.
Yep.
Hey, welcome to the party.
Yep, sure is. But that all aside, we'll discuss that more after part three, because part three is where it would possibly step on my toes. But story-wise, I like seeing the Yoda X-ray. You don't often get to see Yoda's brain. And then, holy cow, I'm like, are they paying tribute to the movie Altered States? Because it sure seems like it. They're like basically started describing a sensory deprivation tank. And then the next scene, they're lowering him down into one. I'm like, oh my God, this is Ken Russell's Altered States. But then they're like, oh, well, this gets him as close to death as he could possibly go. And I'm like, oh my God, it's Flatliners now. They're flatlining Yoda. But in Altered States, people would go into the tank and come out. Of course, they were taking, like, psychedelic drugs, but they would actually devolve back into, like, caveman state and stuff. So I was like, ooh, maybe Yoda will devolve. But no, he just gets a little bit of a spirit.
He comes out 200 years younger.
Little spirit vision from Qui-Gon. That's about it. He basically gets Luke's version of Ben Kenobi telling him to go to Dagobah. So it's a little nod forward to Empire Strikes Back. But yeah, maybe they should have played him a little like New Age music while he was in. I guess that would cut out the sensory deprivation. But that's a lot of what they do when they put you in one of those tanks. They'll play you some nice New Age Zamfir pan pipes music. That's all I got for this part.
My biggest note I rewrote like three times because I originally wrote it because the base premise of the note is I want to talk about Qui-Gon being in the Living Force for a second because he tells Yoda to speak to no one, or he tells Yoda to speak of hearing him to no one and to trust no one. So the first time I wrote this note was before Act 3, and I was saying like, well, how much can Qui-Gon see? Like, can he see like into the future? Can he see that the destruction of the Jedi is not the end of the world because of like Luke, and of course at the time they didn't know that the Force Awakens was coming, but like, you know, they built like Rey and all that on top of this episode. And then we get Act 3 and he's like, oh, I can't see into the past or the future. And I was like, oh, well, fuck it. And so my note ended up being, now that Qui-Gon's in the Loving Force, I wonder how much like Qui-Gon can know because now he's in a bigger Force picture. But it doesn't really matter anymore because
right
My big note got completely destroyed by Act 3, and I had to go back and rewrite it because... But I do have to wonder, like, now that Qui-Gon is in a much bigger Force picture, like, does he have a better scope of things?
He should be able... He should be... Especially by the way he describes it in Act 3, he should be able to see the future. Maybe he would know better what not to say about the future, or it would... But the future should be, you know, if he's in a timeless state, then he should know all about the future and the past. At the same time, all at the same time, he should be living in both of them. But then again, there might be many possible futures too. I don't know how that works.
Yeah, I mean, because like to quote Steven Universe, like time is like a river, and like one change can make like a bajillion different tributaries. So right. Like,
well, that's a that's a quantum physics thing. Is every time you do anything, it creates another universe. You know. Infinite choose your own adventure books.
Yeah, so I mean, like, I like that could be possible, that like him telling Yoda that he can't see into the future could be a way to protect Yoda from changing the future, because I feel like if Qui-Gon knew about what was about to happen and knowing that Luke and Leia are out there and stuff like that, like I could see him being like, Yeah, the Jedi are too big for the britches. This means
Force ghosts. Also, we have also learned that Force ghosts still are not. They can still be cagey and tricky about what they're telling you, too. You know, so.
I mean, we saw that in Last Jedi with
right,
Yoda.
Right, and in Empire. You know, actually, everywhere where they've been talking. You know, Obi-Wan was covering his lines of shit from Star Wars. But then he gives some new lines of shit to Luke before he goes off. So they can still be tricky and double-talky.
Yeah. But the rest of my notes are kind of little notes. Yoda, I know Yoda is tiny, but he looks so tiny when he's in a little harness over
dangling
the tank.
There. Yeah.
He's so tiny in his little harness. And it's so rare that we don't see Yoda in his little white jacket, so it took me a second to be like, oh, he's even smaller than normal.
Yeah, it's like a wet cat almost.
I know. Actually, I want to talk about Ki-Adi-Mundi for a second, because I noted it multiple times while reading it through the notes, but, like, he is extra, like...
Somebody's got to say it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, he is Mr. Skepticism. Like, he's the one that's going, everyone's like, well, maybe it's this. He's like, no, it's the Sith. Well, maybe it's this. No, it's the Sith. Maybe it's this. Well, we know Dooku was a Sith, and that was Yoda's Padawan. It's the Sith. And, like, I just kept thinking of, like, I have a running joke with Megan whenever we talk about Harry Potter, and Harry Potter mentions Severus Snape, and we always go, Snape's up to something! And, like, that's a running joke that we've had for years. And that's how I kind of feel.
His logic is totally sound, though, because...
It is sound.
Basically, he's saying, like, unless there's something new going on here, which actually it is, but it would have been new and totally, you know, unheard of, that they shouldn't be talking from beyond the dead because they've gone into the, you know, into the ether, you know? They've been enveloped in the Force and their egos are gone, basically, is what he's saying.
Yeah.
So he totally, you know, he's totally being the voice of reason there, you know?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is, like, I feel like Jedis are the ones that are, like, open to new possibilities. Like, they should know more than anybody else that the Force is so big and they don't know everything about the Force.
Well, they also should realize that things have been getting really weird lately. So maybe they should expect some weirdness.
Yeah, and that's the point, because, like, Anakin even looks him right in the face and goes, we don't know everything about the Force. And Ki-Adi-Mundi is like, it's a Sith. And I'm like, dude, you're a Jedi. Like, weirdness can happen in the Force, and, like, you should know better than anybody else. I don't know. Like, he was just playing, like, very weird in this episode to me. Honestly, I was like... You know, you're talking about it being the Sith so much, maybe you're the Sith Lord and just trying to direct everyone away from you poorly.
Well, but that also works into the whole sort of place where they are, where you can't trust anybody, so yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe you questioning me about the Sith makes you a Sith, you know, it's all...
It is a good point for this time, because the Jedi should be
bickering.
They've
earned that lack of trust.
Yeah, especially with each other.
Yep.
So... So I like the scene where Yoda is escaping from the medical bay. Like, he has that chippy Yoda, and he's all like, and he's all like, let's go, Skywalker. And Anakin's just like, oh, okay. And Anakin just rolls with it. That's fine Yoda form right there.
Well, because otherwise he'd have to beat up those two guards. So he's just trying to find a nice, you know, nonviolent way out of it without causing a big ruckus.
But, I mean, like, that's Yoda. That's fun Yoda. And it's been a while since... Like, we've been in so much, like, war shit and Jedi politics and stuff of Clone Wars. It's nice to have fun Yoda for, like, 2 minutes.
Well, he's happy in a little ways because he's finally got a plan of action, you know? Something's going on, but now he knows, okay, this is what I've got to do to move this forward.
Yeah. So I really enjoyed that entire section. I realized something I never really thought of before. And it's been a while since I've seen Empire. It's been a hot minute, and I'm looking forward to streaming it. Do you think Yoda, when he met R2 again in Empire, do you think he recognized R2?
They, well, maybe.
Because, I mean, that's a plot thing with old Ben running in R2.
Yeah, the thing is, there's a lot of astromech droids, so R2 could have just looked like that one astromech droid he used.
But,
I don't know.
But
he
R2's known, with a Skywalker.
But R2 got his...
R2's with a Skywalker, though, so I feel like there's a lot more, like, that's a little bit closer.
Got their memory wiped a little ways down the line here,
I know, but I'm not saying that R2 remembered Yoda. I'm just asking if Yoda remembered R2.
Maybe. It's very possible. He probably just wouldn't have... Well, he might have known that he got his memory wiped because they were... Well, no, it was after he left that they talked
Was it episode 3? Like, they talked about it, though.
Yeah, they talked about it, but that was after Yoda left for Dagobah. So, yeah, he might have. I don't know if Yoda really, like, bonded with R2 too much, you know,
yeah.
to remember him that much.
Yeah. And my last note, the ship that Yoda steals looks like a tiny little TIE fighter.
Of course it was.
I know.
It was Yoda-sized.
But it's still, I was like, that's a TIE fighter, only it's tiny. But, like, the shape, it has a little ball with little wings on
it's
it.
It's a tiny fighter.
It's a tiny fighter. A tiny fighter! Except for when it has the hyperspace ring, and then it looks all big again. But when it's by itself, it's a tiny little TIE fighter. I like that, because I was like, oh, we're still, like, even though it's a cute, adorable little Yoda-sized ship, we're still getting closer and closer to the Empire, that's a norm.
Yeah, so. It's kind of weird seeing Yoda in a very Empire-looking ship.
Yeah. But that's all I have for Act 2.
Act 3?
Act 3.
The meat and potatoes of the episode, I guess?
The meat and potatoes that stabbing your fan fiction.
Maybe.
Alright, well, Act 3. Yoda arrives on Dagobah, leaves R2 with the ship, and heads out for the swamp. He finds a place in the swamp and calls out to Qui-Gon, who answers that it's really him and Yoda is not losing his mind. And he tells Yoda to follow a will-o'-the-wisp light, and then Merida from Brave kicks in the door, screaming, "If you could change your fate, would ya?" Because Disney owns everything now, and they're the Thanos of media. Anyway, I just wanted to make a Brave joke, because I saw the little lights, and I was like, that's like the Will-O-Wisps in Brave, and they're, you know, kind of foggy. Anyway, Yoda follows and notes that Dagobah is strong in the Force, one of the purest planets in the galaxy. And we get a bit of an exposition dump, so here's a summary. Qui-Gon is a manifestation of the Force. Living beings use the living Force, and then they all become the cosmic force when they die. Qui-Gon can't show himself because he never finished his training to do this. And then he drops the M-word. The living force and the cosmic force communicate together through the midichlorians. He learned how to put these two together to help connect the living force and the cosmic force. He can't see the future or the past, and he doesn't know who the Sith Lord is. He can only take Yoda to a place where he can find some answers. And Qui-Gon leads Yoda to the dark side cave, the same cave Luke will enter years later. Yoda goes in and immediately finds a swirling shadow surrounding him, and Yoda sees many things in the vision. Jedi cutting down clones, Darth Sidious cutting down a group of Jedi Masters, and he hears the name Sidious, 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 and he is tempted to join the dark side. Yoda refuses, and the vision ends. He comes out of the cave panting and upset. Qui-Gon brings him back, and Yoda wants to know when all this evil and darkness will happen. And Qui-Gon says it's happening right now, since we're, like, 5 minutes from episode 3. And Yoda wonders if the Jedi will prevail. And Qui-Gon says, "There is always me! Hope! I live forever, bitches!" And Qui-Gon will continue to guide him. Yoda has been chosen for something greater, just as Qui-Gon had been. Yoda will learn how to preserve his life force even after death. Yes! This is an arc about how Yoda learns how to be a Force ghost. Welcome to this arc. And Yoda will have to travel to the origin of all life in the galaxy. The Force will guide him, and Yoda sets out in his little tiny fighter for next week's episode. The end.
Well, it doesn't destroy my fanfic idea.
Okay.
I totally have grand designs. I think this should be a Yoda movie, but like it was going to be Yoda dealing with actually the planet of Dagobah and the tree. But this doesn't totally negate it. I wanted it to be him first going there, but he only pays a visit there. And the stuff he does in the tree does not negate any of the stuff that I would have him do in the tree either. So,
what would you have him do in the tree?
I was going to have Yoda, basically, it was a little bit of a PTSD story. It was kind of a mixture of Yoda learning to... It was a little bit of a cross of Star Wars and the movie The Black Stallion, if you've ever seen The Black Stallion.
It's been a long, hot minute.
If you haven't, I highly recommend the movie. But it is basically Yoda coming to terms with his dark side and the psychological... leftovers from the Clone Wars. And that's all I want to really say about it, because it has, but there's an element to the tree that's not in this that I would have had in there. So I could still do it. It wouldn't,
I'm curious about
that
element
fit
is
beautifully
now.
Into the continuity as it does now.
I'm curious what that element is of the tree. You can't tease me like that, Honeywell.
Yeah, there's another element to the tree involved in it that makes it more complex that of course would not be in this because it's something I thought of. So, and this doesn't preclude it. What happens in here does not preclude any of that. So it still could be done. It still could happen. But I don't know what happens in the rest of the other. We have two more episodes after this, so I don't know. It could still get ruined. So I'm a little on the razor's edge about it. But that's just my own. That's my own baggage. My only note in this was there was too much talking in this.
There's a lot of talk. If Yoda wasn't walking through a swamp, this wouldn't be interesting.
Right, and it was, he's walking through Dagobah, but Dagobah's just sort of a backdrop in this, and it's just basically to get him into the tree, and to basically give Yoda his Mortis vision. He gets the Yoda version of Anakin's Mortis vision, which I guess, you know, seeing as what's coming, that's what you would get. But it doesn't really add, and you know, it doesn't really learn us nothing new, so... But that's okay. You know, it was all about sort of having a little revisit, although it's really more the first visit to the tree. Qui-Gon says something a lot like, I have unfinished business from Dagobah or whatever, and we don't get to find out what that is. So that's good. That could play into my fan fiction, actually.
But, welcome to my life.
but yeah, it's a lot of talking to basically just to have to indulge us in Yoda's vision, what Yoda's vision would be in the tree, and it's pretty much what you would imagine Yoda's vision would be in the tree. But it's nice. It's nice and evil and creepy.
I mean, and we learn something. He learns that the Sith's name is Sidious.
Mm-hmm. And he sees him, and he sees what he looks like. You know, he gets a look at him all gnarled up and stuff like that. Doesn't help you an awful lot. But at the same time, you know, it's Qui-Gon leading him down a trail for the future anyway. So you don't really, there's not an awful lot you would want to learn in this. That was really my only note, is too much talking. Although the little Will-O-The-Wisps sort of are a visual reference maybe to one of the Ewok Adventure movie.
I like it because I like a lot of the lighting around them, how they would like light certain things, and how they like project their own light, because there were some like nice lighting elements, because Dagobah was relatively dark.
Yeah.
And until after Yoda comes out of the tree, that's when Dagobah becomes light again. So there was some nice like storytelling through like the lighting and the shadow as well, because like it's a very dark place. But when he's walking back to R2, the sun's coming out.
Yes.
So there's definitely some nice, like, lighting and scenery in this one. I have two notes for this section. I really like this episode. I like that it sets up a lot of original trilogy things. In episode three things, we discover why Dagobah is the planet that he chooses for exile. It's a planet that's strong in the Force, and it makes sense because if Yoda's going to exile, of course he's going to want to go someplace that he can still be connected with the Force. And I feel like it's a raw Force, like we were talking about, I think last week, like people who have a raw Force, and this planet is a raw place to where it makes sense that if you went to another planet that wasn't as strong in the Force, then maybe he couldn't connect to people like Ezra and Rebels. And so we got to see why he chose this place. And I like that we got to see the dark side cave that Luke goes into later. But it's a little bit of a different format and getting to see the dark side cave through Yoda's eyes. So I think it's really cool that they're setting up a lot of, they're connecting Yoda to the future. And I think that's what Clone Wars does so well, is connecting the dots between the prequels and the future stuff.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
It's almost what it was for, you know?
Yeah. My last note, Honeywell, is for you. This is the note I wrote specifically for you. This episode with Yoda seeing the future might poke some holes in your theory that Yoda knows everything.
Yeah, it definitely does.
It stabs it like a two Brutus stabbing.
Throws it on the ground and stomps on it a little bit, yep.
And so for six seasons, you're like, no, Yoda knows everything, Yoda knows everything, and we find on this episode he doesn't.
Yep. Getting crushed here in season six. First
your fan fiction, and now your
theory.
Next thing
I know, I'm going to lose my $1 Jar Jar bet on season seven, too.
I forgot what our bet was.
Whether Jar Jar shows up.
Oh, yeah. I remember this now. But I was watching this, and I was just like, oh, Chris's theory is just getting thrown out the window. Hard. And it's probably not coming back.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, my friend. You have my sympathies.
It's okay. It works better for my fan fiction that Yoda doesn't know everything anyway.
Good, good. Well, if you want, I can teach you how to use AO3 so you can write it and put it up there. But that's, yeah, I mean, that's really all I have for the episode. Like, I feel like X3 should have been, like, wonder and, like, wow and stuff like that, but it's just, it's not executed well. There's just so much exposition just being dumped.
Yeah, it's done in a very heavy-handed way, sort of. Although, you know, this one we did get to see just a lot of stuff that you don't see often, like Yoda getting lowered into a tank and getting his brain scanned and
I mean,
like
I know
that.
The whole point of this is Qui-Gon never completed his training, and that's why he's not a Force ghost. This would have been much more interesting if he was a Force ghost. And I think it would have been cool if, like, with Dagobah being such a strong planet in the Force, like, this is the one place he can manifest. Because then we at least have something visual we can look at.
Yeah. Like, he can manifest in a really strong place on Dagobah or something, you know? But,
yeah.
Well, I'm curious as to what the next two episodes have to offer. No idea. I have a few sort of hints because I found some music from this time period that has some titles on it, but it really doesn't tell much of anything.
Okay, I want to hear what are your theories how the last two episodes will play out? Because we have some clues. We know that Yoda is going to where all life began. What do you think that, like, all this means?
I don't know. I think it's going to be kind of Mortis-like. I think we're going to get a little cosmic in the next one with I think we're going to get weird in the next two episodes, you know?
But you like weird when it's done right.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, I think we're going to go to some sort of, you know, some sort of Force planet, you know, and get some. I think we'll get a lot of foreshadowing in the next two episodes. I can only imagine that's what we're getting. Foreshadowing and shoring up of stuff. I hope we don't get as much talk in the next two episodes. That's all. That's all I know. So you want me to screw it up?
Yes, because I don't want to say anything to spoil the episode for you. Do you think one last question? Do you think you'll be a good weird or a bad weird or a Mortis weird?
I'm thinking it'll be more weird in the rebel sort of way.
Okay.
That's my hope anyway.
All right, score it up, Chris.
I liked it better than the last episode. I gave an 8.5. I liked it. There's some disappointing things to me in there, but that's me. I think it's like the last one. It could have been a really, really, really strong episode, but too much blah blah blah. So 8.5, which is a solidly good episode.
Well, for me, again, as I rated last week's episode, I rated this based on its importance to Star Wars canon. That's how I rated it. Is it my favorite episode? No, I agree. There's a lot of blah, 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 and it's not executed well, and I think it could have been executed better. That being said, this I also feel is an important episode in Star Wars lore. Actually, no, is it really needed? Do we really need to know how Force Ghosts are made?
I am curious. I like learning about that aspect of it. So to me, yes, I like.
Okay.
It's to me, it's sort of like the only place you have to go with Star Wars now. So I'm all for it. I'm ready to jump into developments in the Force.
Okay.
And changes in the Force.
I feel the same way too. I think there is two places in Star Wars, especially in the new canon, we haven't been. What the Force fully entails and what's everything, because the Force is so big, and the other place is the unknown regions. And I think those are the two places that, like, we don't really know anything about the unknown regions except for about the Chiss. That's all we really know that's out there, and then just like other things. I think those are the two big places we're going to go in Star Wars, third being Old Republic. That being said, the Old Republic has been done in Legends, but we're going to be seeing it in canon. That's what I feel. So I agree. So I really like this episode because it sets up a lot of future plot points for the original trilogy. I like finding out how Yoda finds Dagobah, and I like seeing the same dark force tree, dark side tree that Luke goes into.
Yeah.
And I like having Qui-Gon back.
I wanted to write how Yoda found Dagobah, but I'm happy with the Filoni crew writing it for sure.
Yeah. That character-wise, I like seeing Yoda so unsure. I like seeing that he's wavering and that he's not this, because he's always like the strong figure.
Yeah, he's not infallible.
Yeah, and I like that, and I think that's really, really great for his character. And last but certainly not least, I like his escape plan with Anakin, and Anakin's like, sure, yeah, whatever, let's do this, let's go. And then Mace Windu was like, Skywalker!
Well, yeah, Anakin's like, I get to do some crazy plot, but I get to totally be not responsible for it, you know? So he's psyched.
That's actually probably my favorite part of the episode.
Yeah, don't look at me.
Yeah, so
you would have done the same. You know, basically, you're saying you would have done the same thing. It's Yoda. What are you gonna say? You can't say no to Yoda.
Yeah. So because of what they do for Yoda's character in this and its importance in the Star Wars canon, I give it a 9 out of 10.
Ooh.
Is it my favorite episode? No, but I think it's an important episode.
Well, we're sort of the same in relation to each other. With this one as the last one, we're both just scored higher. We're both a full point higher.
Yeah. I was wavering between 8.5 and 9, but I don't know. I do think we're getting into an important arc, and I'm just so excited for you to see what happens next week. I can't wait.
That's what makes me think it's probably, since we generally have the same opinion on the Mortis arc, that I think that we're, I'm not sensing dread from you on the next two episodes.
Say,
as a matter of fact, I can sort of sense that you're looking forward to me seeing him, so I'm tending to look forward to him.
I will say.
And I've only got two left, I might as well look forward to him.
Yeah, and I will say, I like these better than the Mortis arc.
Than the what?
I like this better than the Mortis arc.
Ah, yeah, I should hope so. It's way better than the Mortis arc.
So I definitely like this a lot better. So, yeah. All right, well, as always, we would love to hear your feedback on iTunes, Twitter, on the Two True Freaks Facebook page. This week, our feedback comes from the Two True Freaks Facebook page for the episode, An Old Friend. Take it away, Chris.
All right. This one comes from Paul C. Kelly. I was just thinking, wouldn't the Jedi Order suspect the Banking Clan from the beginning when on Geonosis Obi-Wan saw a member of the Banking Clan say they will sign a treaty with Dooku in Episode 2, Attack of the Clones? Oh yeah, they definitely should. I mean, that was...
Well, they could, I think they could, I think during the... Somewhere they were like, "Oh, that one guy was an outlier. Like he,
yeah,
we don't
maybe,
support him."
But the guy, he
you know,
actually,
politics. Like you're
but
with
he
somebody.
Said something like the Banking Clan, you know, puts their power behind you, or something like that. He definitely wrote the whole Banking Clan on as being with him. So
yeah, I mean, I feel like it's one of those things that like the Banking Clan are like, yeah, we're totally with this one guy. And the moment he gets caught, they're like, no, we didn't know anything
Ooh,
about
that guy.
That.
I just met him the other day.
Oh no, he's an out. No, nothing like us.
I knew he was up to something. Yeah, that's how I would write it off. But I totally think Paul C. Kelly busted him.
Yeah. Oh boy,
Paul
can't
C. Kelly, Jedi Buster.
You want to do the Knoppers?
What are the Knoppers?
It's a blue and white package. It's a wafer.
Let's see. Maybe I don't have the Knoppers. I don't think I have the Knoppers. Oh, no, I do have the Knopper.
You want to do that one?
Oh, it's a crispy. It looks like it has nuts in it too. But then again, the last one we did looked like it had nuts in it too, and I did not see it or taste any nuts in that.
Well, if you don't know what we're doing, Chris hates American Kit Kats. So our friend Dario sends us candy from all over the world to review on the show. And this week we have the Knoppers from Germany. It's a wafer.
And Chris really needs to eat dinner too, so this is gonna help Chris from passing out. This does look like it has a layer of nuts in the chocolate in it, though.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's do this.
It is like...
Oh, my God, it's a wafer. Mm-mm-mm.
It's a wafer one, but it's like one of the more complicated wafer ones we have.
It's like...
It's like all the wafer ones mixed together.
Did you ever get the, like, long wafer sticks and they had, like... They came in vanilla, chocolate, and strawberry?
Yeah.
It reminds me of that, but way better and not as cheap.
This one's got like chocolate wafer. It's got nuts. It's got vanilla wafer frosting in it, and then top layer of wafer, bottom layer of wafer, and then another chocolate layer on the bottom. So it's like there's a lot going on.
Mhm. A lot of wafer going
it's
on.
It's good.
But it's not
very
too dry.
Crispy. It's crispier wafer. Than
but I like most. It too because it's not really dry. It's really good. Thank you, Dario. We love you. Delicious. Well, where can people find you, Chris?
You can find me at my website, twotruefreaks.com, which I should say is our website. And there's probably about 30 active podcasts on there right now. And, you can go to the Facebooks, where a lot of people go, and you can go to Two True Freaks on Facebook, and we post up all those shows, and you can link to those and watch them. And you can also go to iTunes and subscribe to us there under Two True Freaks. And you can go to the Two True Freaks Cantina, which is just sort of a place where we go to hang out and post stuff up and talk about stuff and gripe and rave about things. And... Of course, we have a Two True Freaks Twitter page, too, which also posts all our shows and other things, and that is run by the incomparable Gene, the podcasting machine.
Deep, 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 boom. Gene!
I missed the last one. I felt bad.
Well, the last one, I made up lyrics. I was like, Gene listens to podcasts. Gene!
That's right. I probably didn't know where it was going. Damn, this wafer is good.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where you can find me. Where can you find you, Hope?
You can find me at GayGuysAndJedi on Twitter. I run our Twitter account, and you can also find me at Hope Molnax on Twitter. I am also in the process of getting my website back up, which is geekygirlexperience.com. I don't know if it's actually up and running by the time this episode comes out. Well, I mean, it's up and running. I don't know if there is much on it, though, at the moment, because who knows when with my life right now? I don't know anymore. You can also find me on Archive of Our Own. I write Star Wars fan fiction, and my main series is called Forces of Gravity. It's a Thrawn fan fiction. My name is Chaos Lydia on there, and I'm also the beta reader for Valkyrie Strike by my friend Megan, who you heard in a few episodes ago. So, yeah, and I did a bunch of little one-shots for Eli Vanto Week if you're a Thrawn fangirl or fanboy like me. So, yay! I'm very excited for next week, Chris.
I am too now.
I'm
not, because it's the last two episodes. It's crazy.
Right. But we have Rebels to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually, like, I've been, like, jonesing to watch Rebels. Like, I'm like, I want to watch Rebels! And I can't, because we're going to start it in, like, a few months.
Yeah, it won't be long.
Like, I'm so excited. Very, very, very excited for it, so I can't wait.
Now, how many episodes were each season of Rebels?
20-ish?
They were 20, weren't they? So they're comparable to Clone Wars seasons.
Yeah, like they are 20. I think the last season is shorter, because I think the last season was 12, like either 10 or 12 episodes.
Yeah, something like that.
But seasons 1 through 3, I think, were, like, 20... It was either 20 or 22. Like, they were actually full seasons. So, yeah. And most of the episodes for season 4 came out in twos. So, they would drop two episodes at a time. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I'm so ready to do Rebels. Like, I'm just like, blah! I'm so excited! Because I love...
Putting all Yoda in cold storage.
Yeah, we're waiting to figure out something else, like the adventures of Agent Kallus or something.
Dirty Agent Kallus.
Actually, I still have fortune cookies saved up, because we saved fortune cookies in case we ever have like a bad motto thing.
Yeah.
And we never used them. So I still like the idea of us, like, busting open up a fortune cookie and just, like, reading a random fortune cookie to see how we're next to the episode.
Could work. We'll figure it out.
We won't forget Yoda. He's our third podcaster, and we'll figure out a way for him to be in the show.
Our third leg.
Wait, we'll figure it out. Yeah. Our fort, and we call it the tripod.
That's right, because do or not do, there is no tripod.
Yeah.
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at twotruefreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, Two True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the Two True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at twotruefreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled T-W-O. TrueFreaks.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at twotruefreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks.
Dumbass.
If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show, too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
Test, test, say duh.
Yeah.
Good luck.